This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. Big day for the Demons. Angus Brayshaw, in somewhat of a surprise in terms of the timing, has recommitted to Melbourne for six further years until the end of 2028, joining his mate Clayton Oliver in terms of a long-term commitment to the club. Melbourne announced this today. It comes just 2 days. I mentioned the timing after he gave a radio interview, basically inferring that Brayshaw was in no rush to make a decision on this. For some context, Essendon had met with him in recent weeks. Geelong was also very interested, I understood. And obviously there was obvious interest from the Western Australian clubs, including most notably Fremantle and, of course, West Coast. In terms of the fallout from this, well, it obviously changes the free agency market significantly. Does it mean that Melbourne can still afford Luke Jackson? Yes, is the view from Melbourne directly that I've got this morning. Sources there telling me that this Brayshaw deal and the Luke Jackson deals are completely separate. Look, that's their position. I take that at face value. But it's an absolute coup for the Demons. More proof, obviously, that, you know, it's fairly rare that Premiership players leave Premiership teams. Essendon had a crack. Who can begrudge them? But obviously a significant deal for Brayshaw. Got 6 years in the end, which is significant. Is it risky? Well, time will tell. Probably not. And it's a significant deal for Melbourne. The concern, obviously, was he wanted to play in the midfield. He's been obviously playing on that halfback flank predominantly and obviously on the wing. But maybe he's worked through those particular issues with Melbourne. But a significant coup for Melbourne today. Angus Brayshaw signing a six-year deal, which, according to Melbourne sources, won't necessarily preclude them from going after Luke, well, from re-signing, I should say, Luke Jackson. Look, I think it's more likely than not that Jackson will end up at Fremantle. But that's a coup in itself. Brayshaw staying at Melbourne for six more years.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
Also a coup for Richmond. A lot of discussion about Liam Baker and his interest in potentially going west. Well, according to Richmond this morning, it's official. Baker has inked a new two-year deal to remain at the Swinburne Centre. That's Richmond's headquarters at Punt Road. That means the 24-year-old will definitely be there for a further 2 years. That's a big coup for the Tigers in terms of re-signing Baker for at least the next 2 years. That's official as well this morning.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
Still on the Tigers, Damien Hardwick this morning has considered he, quote, needs to be better, unquote, and he's acknowledged that he overset the mark in a verbal spray, which is apparently full of expletives for those that heard it. I wasn't there. At the VFL match last weekend, Hardwick has, well, not apologised, but he's considered that he needs to be better. It's understood that he called the Williamstown player a weak effing P, according to one version of events. It's understood that he hasn't necessarily apologised to the player, but he's put forward his version of events to the Tigers. It's not clear whether the AFL will take any further action off the back of this. Well, it's an apology of sorts. It's not really an apology. It's just basically a I'm human acknowledgement on the part of Hardwick. It was funny this morning. Hardwick did add that his mum, Pam, gave him a very stern reminder about my behaviour. It's funny how you're still scared of your mother at the age of 49, according to Hardwick. So it's not necessarily case closed because the AFL could still act, but I'd say that's probably unlikely at this point. But Hardwick has acknowledged that he needs to be better in his press conference this morning.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bombers fans, Damien Barrett has reported that skipper Dyson Heppel is now only 50-50 to stay next year and beyond, pointing out that the offer is modest at the moment from Essendon. So we'll keep a close eye on that one. And I might update that tomorrow. I'll speak to some Essendon sources. I guess the issue there is a bit like the Buddy Franklin scenario. It's sort of a case of, well, whatever he gets offered is probably more than what he's going to earn outside of football. I guess Heppel's only chance at earning a lot more would be to get a leadership type offer from another club where he could sort of get transitioned into a leadership role, perhaps at an emerging club or something like that. Having said that, there's a bit to be said with being a Bomber for life. So I'll try and give you an update on that situation tomorrow. I'll speak to some Bomber sources on that this afternoon. But Heppel only 50-50 to stay, according to Damien Barrett yesterday.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
An interesting interview from Dave Matthews, who's the Giants boss, overnight on Footy Classified. For context, Alistair Clarkson met with the Giants boss, as well as Jimmy Bartel, at the management of Clarkson yesterday, James Henderson's office in Albert Park. Dave Matthews putting this on the agenda. Now, just to explain, obviously, the money you pay the coach is under the soft cap, which is limited. That's the amount you can spend on football. but the Giants are seeking some relief or an allowance from the AFL to pay Clarkson an amount over and above that that would be included in the soft cap. This was Dave Matthews.
When you're looking at somebody like an Alistair Clarkson, the ambassadorial role really comes into stark contrast, doesn't it? It's different to another type of coach. Is that something you'd look to ask the AFL for some support?
I think we would. I think it reminds you of the days when Lee Matthews went to Brisbane Lions and what the sort of halo effect was. Certainly his profile is something that's pretty significant.
Now, that will spark a debate as to whether the Giants deserve an exclusion under the soft cap to pay Alistair Clarkson more money. Now, the interesting part of all this discussion for mine is why now is the Giants, and it looks like North Melbourne, trying to lobby the AFL to pay Clarkson an amount over and above the soft cap? I think you'll find it's because he's asking for a reasonable amount of money, which he's entitled to, but he did have some comments in regards to that last week. Anyway, back to on other matters. In terms of the arguments, I guess, against them getting an allowance, when Lee Matthews got an extra allowance when he was at Brisbane, there was no soft cap. If you allow the Giants, in theory, you should allow North. The Suns, as far as we can tell, didn't get an ambassadorial allowance when they were perhaps chasing Clarkson earlier this year or certainly interested in him. And Sydney, they're also in a tough market. Well, does John Longmire get the same thing? I guess the argument in favour is that Clarkson's highly marketable. The AFL's made a big investment in the Giants and no doubt he'd do a good job there. The AFL's been pretty clear to me all year they wouldn't, Gil McLaughlin's told me to say, wouldn't allow any type of amount outside the soft cap for an ambassador allowance for Clarkson. But again, I'll chase that up today in terms of the AFL's latest position. I don't think they've changed their mind, but it opens a whole can of worms and an interesting debate.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
And just finally, bubbling away in the background, the biggest commercial deal that's going on is the TV deal. It sort of seems boring, but it basically affects the money the game's going to get. It's the main source of money. And also affects how, the audience watch the football. Jake Nile had an interesting article in The Age today explaining that, according to Nile and The Age, the Fairfax Press, that Foxtel, that's Fox, is trying to get all of Saturday in a Super Saturday type arrangement, and perhaps they'd pay for that exclusivity. That opens up a whole debate as to whether Saturdays should be all on pay. And there was that discussion in Western Australia and Adelaide recently about their access to the games and whether they'd be on free-to-air. The other interesting part of all that is that I think if Seven had more Thursday nights, you definitely need the help of the players, because one issue there would be the scheduling and the fact they'd have to agree to a lot of 4, 5 and 6 day breaks. So an interesting discussion going on regarding the TV rights at the moment. They're being negotiated. It looks like Fox and Seven are in the best place to retain them. That's just from an external view. I don't know anything particularly from an inside basis. But an interesting debate there about how much of the footy on Saturdays should be on pay TV. And yep, I work for Seven, just by way of full disclosure there. And also whether the players would agree to the sufficient number of 5 day breaks to agree to play 15 plus Thursday nights. That's what Gil McLaughlin is definitely working on in the background at the moment.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News, and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And just two brief ones to leave you with. Collingwood, De Goey looks set to return this weekend, which is hugely exciting for Collingwood fans. Of course, they take on Port with, again, the top four prospects seriously, I guess, on the line. It's all to play for the Pies at the moment. It doesn't look like Grundy will return via the seniors this weekend, which is consistent with Craig McRae's position last week. And just also on another AFL investigation, the head medical officer, Dr. McDeasy, looked into Richmond and the use of the medical sub last Friday night. That's been cleared from an AFL perspective. So there's no issues there in terms of the use of the medical sub. But as I reported on Monday, I do think the AFL will look into the medical sub issue at the end of the year. I think John Longmire came out this week and supported perhaps some tweaking of the rules there. But that'll become definitely a discussion point again at the end of the year.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.